I would like to get started with our first speaker today. Our first speaker is Sarah Raykamp. She joined the University of Hawaii at Manoa in 2019 as an assistant extension agent, agriculture economics. She is interested broadly in food system sustainability and conducts applied research and outreach to support stakeholder decision making. Prior to her current position, Sarah worked as an agricultural economist for the USDA's Economic Research Service in Washington, D.C. She holds an MS in agricultural economics from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. And Sarah's presentation today is Comfort Food and COVID-19, a look at food spending and behavior during the pandemic. Sarah, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for that introduction. So hi, everyone. Very happy to be here today. I was asked to focus on the impacts of COVID-19 on consumers, particularly those in our Western region. So the title of my presentation is Comfort Food and COVID-19, a look at food spending and behavior during the pandemic. We are now all very familiar with COVID-19, and the current health crisis continues to impact the economy. There have been disruptions throughout the food system since the beginning of the pandemic, and you may have seen articles like this one I have on the right-hand side from the New York Times about vegetables being tilled under or milk being dumped. Instead of going to public schools and coffee shops, which are major consumers of dairy, approximately 5% of the milk supply was being dumped at the writing of this article. This was the case for other items such as eggs or vegetables that faced the loss of markets with limited restaurant traffic and school closings. Products meant for these markets can't be easily redirected to grocery stores or other outlets because of the differences in packages, quantities and form. So for example, restaurants purchase much larger bags of shredded cheese compared to what we would buy in grocery stores. And what I found out recently, which I thought was interesting, is that eggs come in powdered forms to schools. They're not the shell eggs that we typically purchase by the dozen. I'll be covering four topic areas all related to agriculture, food, and the impacts of the pandemic. First, we'll look at how has food spending and behavior changed with COVID-19. Then we'll look at regional differences. And finally, I'll touch on what may be next as we look ahead. The following slides will focus on the national changes in food spending and behavior that we've seen in the U.S. since COVID. The panic buying we saw at the beginning of the pandemic was an internal influence on shopping behaviors. So there was a fear some consumers had of shortages, causing a short-term spike in demand and resulting in empty shelves for products such as toilet paper or cleaning supplies. And there are some signals that we might see this behavior, the empty shelves and limits on certain goods coming this winter. An external influence of shopping behavior is market conditions, one of which is retail price changes. So this figure shows retail prices and how they have changed for major food at home categories. Overall, grocery store prices were 5.6% higher in June 2020 compared with June 2019. Retail beef and veal prices increased the most and were 25% higher this June compared to last June. And this was primarily driven by the disruption in slaughter capacity due to the COVID outbreaks that we saw in the slaughterhouses and a shortage of retail products in the market. Other commodities also saw retail price increases. Egg prices increased about 12% since June 2019, and pork and poultry prices increased about 12% and 9% respectively. Then overall U.S. food spending was $12 billion less this June compared to June 2019. If we look at the figure, the bars along the bottom show total food sales broken out by food at home, which is food purchased at grocery stores or super centers, and food away from home, which is food when purchase when eating out at restaurants, for example. So Since 2010, Americans were spending more on food away from home than food at home, but this trend was reversed starting in March 2020, where food at home spending was higher. Food away from home has been particularly hard hit with the COVID-19 pandemic, and this graph is showing the substitution away from eating out towards eating more at home due to the risks involved with shopping during the COVID-19 pandemic. You can see the sharp decrease in food away from home expenditures in 2020, shown in orange on the far right of this figure, while expenditures on food at home increased, shown in the light blue color. So this change that we're observing differs from the last U.S. recessionary period that you can see in the shaded gray bar that started in December 2007 and lasted through mid-2009. So during that recession, both food away from home and food at home decreased and by a much smaller magnitude. So this slide is showing shopping attitudes are changing. 69% of survey respondents use delivery or pickup options for the first time. And then 77% believe shopping will change permanently coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic. The left panel shows a headline from the New York Times about comfort food. And in this article, it's reported that the Campbell Soup Company had seen steady declines in soup sales in the last 2 years. But in the last month, sales of Campbell's soup soared 59% from a year earlier. And similarly, Prego pasta sauce increased 52%, and sales of its Pepperidge Farm Goldfish crackers climbed nearly 23%. And so the article suggests these increases are due to emotional eating, foods that trigger a comforting childhood memory are being chosen by consumers, and also consumers are choosing stress-relieving snacks. Now, if we look at the right panel, this is a headline from the Wall Street Journal about comfort foods making a comeback. There's been increased demand for foods that are easy to make when some of us are working from home or have had the added responsibility of helping kids at home with school. So the three categories I have listed here, the soup, canned meat, and frozen pizza, have increased sales in U.S. stores. Not only are these the easy-to-make items, but they're also non-perishable items, which consumers can more easily stock up on. The question that remains is whether these customers can be retained over time. So looking now at some specific items, there's been some evidence of growth in single vitamins. For example, vitamin D is typically absorbed from sunlight, but we're spending more time indoors. Then the figure on the right is showing that orange juice sales have reached their highest level in 5 years, at 44.5 million gallons. We see a spike starting in February 2020, shown with the light blue line. Consumers may be looking to boost their immune system with vitamin C, typically found in orange juice. And then the bottom of the slide, I have listed that Nestle's organic sales grew 4.3% between January and March, and this was a much higher growth than expected. So what we're seeing is that items that people perceive as health promoting are growing during this time. So this figure comes from survey data from McKinsey & Company, and they look at reasons respondents tried a new brand in the past 3 months. So when we go into the store, we're making decisions on what to buy. We're taking into account all of the food's different attributes. Some of these attributes are listed on the vertical axis. In the U.S., respondents ranked value as number one, availability as number two, and quality or organic as number three. And this differs for other countries, which you may consider depending on your market of interest. But what I'd like to highlight is that it turns out value is ranked number one across countries. We've seen high unemployment, tight household budgets, so it's expected that value would be a product attribute that is more important during an economic downturn. Now to address the question of how have things changed regionally with COVID-19. So we're shifting away from this national perspective now and focusing on the data we have on the western region of the United States. So to bring us back to food spending, the last figure shows percentage change in grocery spending by each state, with the green color indicating a larger increase. So we see a slightly darker green on the West Coast compared to the Midwest. Then if we look at the right figure, we can see the change in restaurant and hotel spending by state. The darker orange, the larger the increase. So there's been differences in restaurant and hotel spending due to state mandates. So we have that regulatory side and also consumers' willingness to dine out. This figure is showing grocery spending for three Western region states. They've chosen Washington, Idaho, and Hawaii. And what we see here is a spike in grocery spending in the spring, and grocery spending has remained high since that time. At the end of November, consumers in Hawaii were spending about 17% more on groceries than in January of this year. Consumers in Idaho were spending 27% more, and consumers in Washington increased their grocery budget by almost a third. And if anyone is interested in digging into their state's data, the site also has information on specific metropolitan areas. Conversely, this chart shows spending at restaurant and hotels in three other Western states. I'd like to highlight here, I have Utah, California, and Colorado. We see the opposite trends compared to the grocery spending. So expenditures in restaurants and hotels fell sharply in April and have somewhat recovered since then. In these three states, the restaurant and hotel spending is about 40% below that of January of 2020. Rather than looking at spending, these figures are showing traffic at restaurants in different Western states. So this is year-over-year percentage change of seated diners at restaurants on the Open Table Network across all channels. So that includes online reservations, phone reservations, and walk-ins. So if we take a look at Hawaii, presented on the left, in March, Hawaii implemented stay-at-home orders and that all non-essential businesses close. And we see no restaurant traffic during this time. It's just now starting to pick back up, but by less than half of the traffic reported in February of this year. So in Hawaii, in the state, restaurant traffic coming back is a function of how safe people going to go to restaurants and also the number of visitors we have in the state. Some other states have seen restaurant traffic come back more quickly, though. So if we look at Arizona, as an example, restaurant traffic has continued to increase since the spring shutdown. Then on the right, we see the trend for New Mexico restaurant traffic. In New Mexico, there was an increase in traffic in June, but restaurants have seen declines again this fall. Now, looking forward to what's next, it's, you know, thinking ahead is very hard to make predictions since there is still epidemiological and economic uncertainty. But there has been recent optimism with the vaccine trials. However, economic recovery will likely take years. So again, the COVID-19 pandemic is unprecedented. We don't know the longer term effects yet, but to forecast what may happen in the future, it can be useful to look to the past. So during the December 2007 to June 2009 recession, also known as the Great Recession, this is the most severe downturn since the Great Depression. And during this period of time, U.S. households in all demographics changed their food spending behavior. So what I'm showing on the figure is that Items on sale increased as a share of household expenditures during this last recession. On average, households devoted more time to shopping for better deals as unemployment rose. They increased coupon usage, purchased more on sale, bought more generic goods, bought goods in larger sizes, made more shopping trips, and did more shopping at discount stores. So again, this is evidence that value will be important as we ride out this time. So again, the gray shaded area is our last recessionary period. Total household food spending by U.S. households, which is shown with the solid blue line, declined by 7% between 2007 and 2010, measured in 2005 dollars, as many households cut back on eating out. And this was the largest inflation-adjusted decline in food spending that accompanied a recession since 1984, when the Consumer Expenditure Survey began, which is the data behind this figure. So food spending by U.S. households did not return to pre-recession levels until 2015. The main takeaway in this figure is that the Great Recession hit middle-income households' food spending the hardest. Food spending by households in the middle-income quintile remained below pre-recession levels in 2016, 7 years post-recession, and these households continued to allocate more of their food budgets to food at home rather than eating out. Whereas if we look at food spending by the lowest and highest income households, their spending did not significantly differ from levels in 2005 throughout the recession and recovery period. So perhaps this provides some insights on what the market may look like in coming years for different types of consumers. This slide shows that more people expect to make a portion of their purchases online post-COVID-19 than before. So in the United States, which is shown in the first column, there has been positive growth in online orders in all food and grocery categories, and the most growth in groceries. So some of these impacts from the recession we may see into the future. So thank you so much for attending. I hope this presentation generated a few insights for the group who is attending, and I will turn things back over to our moderator, Kinda.
Great. Thank you, Sarah, very much for that excellent presentation. Again, we will have question answer period after all presenters have finished up today.